The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
In this episode, we start a series on the top 10 things we've learned in our 22-year lesbian relationship.
We're not psychotherapists,
but we are lesbians with 22 years and counting in the books.
Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome. Oh. Hey.
What?
Hey.
Why are you choosing my words?
Well, that's actually a very appropriate intro to this episode because, you know, it's all about our top 10 things that we've learned in our 22-year lesbian relationship.
22 years. So we could have...
That's Bear, our cat.
I don't know if you can hear Bear doing Zooms, but yeah, 22 years. We could have had a child... And they could be graduating soon from college.
As lesbians, we could not have had a child.
Well, we could
without
have had a child.
Some outside help.
Yes. So anyways, but we did not have any human children. We've had fur children. But anyways, yes. So our anniversary is coming up. By the time you all hear this, we probably had it. Mm-hmm. And we will have been together for 22 years. 22 years. My God. Doesn't that feel long?
I think it is long.
It is, right? Anyways.
Of course, it depends how old one is when one hears that. Right. But yeah, I think it's...
I know. The whole age thing. It's just... That's a whole other podcast. But if you are listening to the podcast for the first time, because this topic interests you, first of all, thank you for listening. As far as our history goes, Toast and I first met... 22 years ago, and we met doing music. And that's kind of it. I mean, if you want to hear the full story, because it was very roller coaster like, wouldn't you say? The whole thing
ish.
It really was a ride. So we can link a previous episode where we've discussed that.
Sure, I can find that.
We have maybe two
put that
where
in
we've
the
talked
blog.
About it. Mm-hmm. So anyways, but that's how we met. And ever since we met, we just basically stayed very connected. And a few months later, Toast moved up to where I was living at the time. And we've been together ever since.
So now you know.
So... Why don't you tell the people what's going to happen with this list?
Okay.
And what we did.
So the plan is that in the next few episodes, we're going to cover the top 10 things that we have learned in our 22-year lesbian relationship. So this episode, we've got numbers 10 through 7. So 10, 9, 8, and 7. And we have a bonus.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're the one who had the idea of what the bonus was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we better write this down. Maybe we should plan a little on when we do these podcast things. Okay.
We've planned.
Yeah.
We've planned. All right.
Enough.
So are we ready?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Number 10. Choose your battles.
Okay. So this one is not so... Oh my gosh, that's such a new piece of advice for us all.
I'm so glad I listened to this podcast episode.
But And we've heard it too. We've heard it, heard people say it all the time. But the difference is actually heeding it, like actually doing it, listening to this piece of advice and using it to your advantage and to your, for your relationship. So this is true. This is real because, you know, in the beginning of a relationship, we have a lot of tolerance for things.
Right? Yes, we overlook a lot of things. We're blinded by our feelings.
We're in a certain state of the relationship. It's a different part of love, if it's even love at that point. But even as you get to love,
you start to get annoyed.
There will be a point where things from before that never bothered you are going to start to bother you. But you have to choose your battles.
Let's give them an example.
Okay, so one example is, so toast.
Oh, should I set it up? Because I know, should I confess this?
I want to make sure you talk about the timing.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because that, I thought that was really important, okay. And urgent versus important.
Okay.
I thought that was good points.
Well, thank you.
So toast, one of the things that just drives me nuts is that she leaves trails of things wherever she is. So it is, and the main place is the dining room table. Now, we don't have a giant dining room table, so it's not like she has a ton of stuff. But because it's not a giant dining room table, her stuff takes up the whole table.
And stuff meaning books,
it's
paper,
books,
pencils.
It's like a random plant that she might be nursing back to health. It's seeds from something that she's thinking of researching. It's lots of pamphlets and notes and a clipboard with sketches. It's just so much stuff. And this has been an issue. So we even have a shelf unit right near the dining room table where I dedicated two spots on the shelf for her. And I said, okay, why don't, you know, when you're done with your work, just put it here on the shelf. And those shelves are now completely full, but the issue still exists. So am I going to, like, how many times am I going to bring this up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how many times am I going to bring it? Mm-hmm. So after a while, you just need to learn, okay, come on, is this really that important? Is it really that important? And yes, it is. It is important.
You have to have something to compare it to.
Right, right. So, you know, it's not as important to me as, say, making sure we have date nights on the calendar, making sure we have something to look forward to that we're doing together in our relationship. So given our capacity is limited, you got to really choose what you're going to use your capacity for, and you have to make sure that it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm realizing, oh yeah, those two shelves. I need to, I could really stand to
go through your shelves.
Thin the books in there. Because mm-hmm. there's a whole bunch of books that, and I don't think I'm going to, like, use all of them anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. But yes, choose your battles. And I think incorporated with this is choose your times that you're going to bring up certain things. You know, one could imagine that, hey, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you've both committed and acknowledged that you are mutually, you know, both of you, the most important people in your lives, this is the person. If there's something important or something that matters to you, well, shoot, you should be able to bring it up at any time. Because isn't that part of the benefit of being in such a loving, unconditionally loving relationship, right? Shouldn't you have that freedom because they love you? And you love them, so you should be able to bring up anything at any time.
No.
No wrong answer.
I mean, essentially, yes, you can do that.
But we advise against it.
However, read the room, right? Read the room you're in.
Yeah.
Did your partner have a long day?
Right.
Is that the time to bring up the table mess? Or whatever else it might
right.
be,
no,
right? The date night, making sure date night's in the calendar. Is that the right time? Mm-hmm. Versus, say, Sunday, late morning, the day, there's ease to the day. There isn't something like urgently pressing. You just had blueberry pancakes together. It's like,
and you might want to give them a little heads up and be like, hey, I'm going to go, you know, wash up. There's something I wanted to talk about. Just, you know, can you reserve some mental emotional space for that?
Yes.
Just a little heads up.
Yes. That's it. So that's choose your battles.
Choose your battles. And this idea of choosing the battles and of choosing your times, that is, to me, I think that is what loving unconditionally looks like, mm-hmm. is you give that much consideration to the other person mm-hmm. instead of feeling free to just, you know, demand the attention because, hey, there's unconditional love. No, it's the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. So true.
That was number 10. Choose your battles.
Number 9.
Accept responsibility for your feelings.
Okay. This is kind of a big one. There are nuances.
Yes.
You know, and you right. will, you just have to practice it. Like, just try. Work with your partner on this and see what's going to work for both of you. It's not a hard and fast, like, you know, you just have to accept how you feel and that's it.
And you're on your own.
You're on your own, on your in your own little boat out in the ocean by yourself. No, it's not like that. So there are nuances. Mm-hmm. But how someone makes you feel, it's not their responsibility. It's actually yours.
So
how you feel is you. It's a you thing. And we're not talking about relationships where there is abuse happening. Let's just say that. It's a whole different situation. And we aren't experts in, nor do we have direct experience with emotionally and physically abusive intimate relationships. So again, how you feel, taking responsibility for how you feel is very important, and it's also very difficult.
Yes. I think it is tricky because even though the words that we use in English to mm-hmm. describe it, it's like, yeah, what was it? How someone makes you feel.
Right.
What we're saying is that people don't make you feel.
Right.
They have influence on it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, they have influence.
Yes.
And that's the balance, that's where it gets nuance tricky. And all of that.
Yes.
So
it's hard though. You know, it's hard. And I know I'm still working on it. I feel like I am getting better at it in knowing that, you know, some you might say something mm-hmm. and then my internal process in that moment is then going, feels triggered in some way. Mm. And then I try to take that opportunity to be in the space of going, okay, wait, hold on. Just giving myself a moment, hold on, before I react. Because once I react and get all hurt and like, you made me feel, you hurt me, you are saying something that is so, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. trying to catch it so that I can still be in an empowered place to choose how I want to feel about the situation. Mm-hmm. So one thing, you know, something that I have felt in our conversations is not feeling heard by Toast. Mm-hmm. And so when I don't feel heard, I feel like she doesn't care. I feel like you don't care. You're right here. So I should, why am I saying she? So then I'll feel like you don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so hurt. And it could be something that Toast just wasn't even, you weren't doing something on purpose. You know, the fact that...
Like I was, you know, I was next to the printer and it was printing and it was making a lot of noise, but you didn't realize that.
Oh yeah, that was a recent example. Right? Yes. Yeah. And I was going, Toast, something, something. And I was asking her something and I heard the printer and she was right by the printer. And I heard the printer going. So yeah. I'm like, okay, she probably can't hear me. So I started saying it louder. And then instead of standing my ass up and walking over a few feet, right? But anyways, then when you came back in the room, I'm like, didn't you hear me? And you're like, no, the printer was right by my ear. And I'm like, there's no way that I was saying it so loud. The printer isn't that loud. And I just felt convinced that she was just tuning me out. Mm. And I felt like you just...
Being an asshole.
I felt like you were being an asshole to me. And this is where it gets tricky.
Well, this is where it gets tricky because in that instance, my instinct is to go, I'm so sorry you felt like that.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You felt that way.
Yeah.
And then that can be triggering because it's like, Look, Toast, it's not that I felt that way. It's that you made me feel that way. Do you think?
Well,
depends on what state
not
we're
really,
in.
Not really. No? Okay. Not really that. But it's more that instead of just saying, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way, mm-hmm. is not a true apology. And anyone who wants to disagree, come at me. Because that's kind of...
Do you feel like that's blaming the person? That's blaming the person for
feeling? It's not taking full, like...
I'm sorry. I'm the one that caused the problem.
It can just be, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Because I think people have a different view on what an apology is. Apology doesn't need to be that you're accepting fault. Like when someone passes away, you say, I'm so sorry.
That's part of the
problem. You don't say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel so heartbroken that someone passed away. Or I'm sorry
That I think part of the problem, again, English. We have a problem, English. Because there should be more words for sorry. Because
and like love, yes.
There are different kinds of being
right.
sorry.
So just saying, I'm so sorry. And
I feel bad that you feel that way. Whoop, nope, don't add on that last part.
Just being able to keep it short, like, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
You know, because I think for most relationships, if a person is... dysregulated, we all take turns.
Let's define that. What is dysregulated? It's really
just
quick.
Being just able to regulate. Dysregulated means your nervous system is
you're on edge,
reactive.
You're not settled.
You feel like a lion is chasing you. You're operating from your lower brain, your amygdala. So in those situations, it is impossible for you to think clearly. Impossible. So that's where I think a lot of times arguments go on and on. Mm-hmm. Both people are operating from their amygdalas and it's not going anywhere. Or one person is, and the other person is trying to stay regulated, but it still can't go anywhere because whatever they're saying that is very clear is not being received by the person operating from their lower brain.
Okay.
So anyways, I don't remember my thought. Anyways,
but we're talking about accept responsibility feelings.
So just being like if your partner isn't feeling well, regardless of if you had influence in how they feel or not, or it was just a bad work day, I think you can genuinely be sorry that that person had a bad day.
Absolutely.
Or that person is feeling, whatever they're feeling.
Yes.
But just being able to say, I'm so sorry, you had a hard day, mm-hmm. And
I want to be here.
I'm so sorry you feel that way is not an apology. And again,
we have to take this up with the Real Housewives.
Okay. Why don't we move on to number 8?
Before we do, just really quick, So number 9 again was accept responsibility for your feelings. And here we go with number 8. Number 8, not every issue needs to turn into a psychotherapy session, which might sound kind of weird coming from us who we like to learn things and we like to mm-hmm. figure things out and explore personal development and all that. We love those kinds of issues. And
I do.
Books and podcasts and courses and all of that stuff.
I love it because trying to figure out what someone was thinking or what's their history and really helps to bring me to a place of understanding.
Yes.
And patience and appreciation for that person.
Yes. And that's valuable. And actually in subsequent top 10 things, mm-hmm. it's going to kind of contradict what we're saying now, because we are going to talk about how valuable it has been to learn mm-hmm. about, you know, the deeper reasons for our actions and how we engage with relationships.
But see, everything we're saying, though, but it's not really a contradiction, because everything we're saying, it's just about the balance and honoring this complex matrix of a relationship.
I love that. The complex matrix. You're right. Yes. Okay. So I think this particular issue, this not every issue needs to be a psychotherapy session. I think this relates to respect for the mystery in life and having some degree of acceptance and equanimity in the face of unknowns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because as much as it is human nature to have that desire for exploration and discovery and learning things, right? And settling on, okay, this is why. Aha.
Right.
Now I have a complete map and I have the top 10 things that you should do for your relationship as if it can be nailed down into a formula. That's really not how life is. And I guess that's why I really like that Indigo Girls song, Least Complicated.
Mm.
Isn't that what the name of the song is, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, everything can fit into a formula. And that's what they teach you in school. It's like, oh, you just fit the right formula in and then you'll figure it out. No, that's actually not how life really is. And the more we try to force it into that, the less enjoyment we get, I think.
Yeah.
There is a balance there. Yes, mm-hmm. you know, do your due diligence. Don't walk around without having learned anything, but we're never going to figure it all out. That's just not how life is. And you miss out on the beauty of the relationship, of the other person, of yourself. Mm-hmm. If you try to figure it out,
right?
There is such a sense of love and depth and There's a deep pleasure from sitting mm-hmm. in the mystery.
Yeah. I think I just heard Sarah McLachlan, Building a Mystery.
Anyways. We are dating ourselves with the 90s music references.
But I do, I do think that quest to understand someone more fully,
mm-hmm.
so therefore those analytic moments,
mm-hmm.
I think they really come from or can come from a place of wanting to understand, because if I understand, then I will be able to manage the pain of whatever that thing is that happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if I understand, then maybe there's less chances of it happening again.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I think both of those are actually true.
There is a hope around the intention for wanting mm-hmm. to psychoanalyze.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about just never doing it, but not every single thing, not every single seeming argument or moment of discord needs to be to that level.
Yeah. And in fact, I really feel like there is a kind of comfort in the love that you can feel and realize just by sitting in that mystery and being loved and loving without even having to have that understanding.
Hmm. So yeah. Yes.
That was number 8. Not every issue needs to turn into a psychotherapy session.
Number seven
is learn how to fight well.
Yes.
Be a good fighter. Woo.
Boy, we've taken a while to learn this. There were times back in the day where we would be having conversations or arguments, less conversation-like, in our kitchen, in our tiny little one-bedroom, one-bath cottage. Just,
I call them the
it was horrible.
I call them the 3 a.m. hands on hips. We laugh now.
Oh, my gosh. Those were just
horrible. I'm so glad you can laugh at it now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just ridiculous.
So we clearly did not know how to argue then. And the relationship that I had previously, we really didn't fight. And that's not any better, actually. You know, a lot of people go, oh, well, we never fight. I wouldn't say that that's so healthy.
It's not an automatic 5-star relationship.
No, it's not. Okay. And so
it depends on a lot of things, I guess.
I spent 9 years not fighting and not even practicing. Okay, well, how do you really fight? Until it came to our relationship.
I can make those sounds.
You can do that because you're Asian. I think you can.
To do that?
I think you can.
They might come after me. Somebody might come after me. Oh, well. Okay. So what we mean by learn how to fight is to live as though arguments are not for winning.
Mm-mm.
Arguments are for learning.
Right.
Arguments are for understanding. And that, you know, as we got into this one and we're talking about learning how to fight, I realized how much listening is a skill, just how relaxation is a skill. And our culture doesn't act like it is. Because we have all these seminars and classes on how to speak.
Yeah.
But we don't have any classes really on how to listen. And I guess that's why we're all like trying to work on it. And I'm trying to learn how to convey empathy, listening, care, being a safe place to express, because that's how I feel inside. And I think that's where my urge to want to fix things and offer solutions, right? It's like I care so much that I'm trying to help you feel better.
Yeah. And that also comes from your masculinity. The masculine wants to fix.
I think so. But even that, right, it comes from that place of caring. Like, because it hurts to see your person in pain. So, yeah, you want to fix. But not realizing that if you listen really well, that goes a long way to fixing it.
That is fixing.
Yeah.
Because the problem, okay, I'm going on that tangent. So
what tangent? What?
Well, because a lot of times for a person who leans more emotional, the problem is not actually what they're sharing. The problem is needing to feel, not feeling seen or validated. Mm. So it's like, see me and validate where I'm coming from. It's not the actual thing itself.
So it's not about coming to a compromise, like in the context of an argument. It's not about like, well, coming to a compromise. That's a traditional conception of an argument. Like one person's for A and one person's for B.
I mean, sometimes it is that. But the situation I'm talking about is what you were saying with the wanting to fix things. You know, a lot of times when I'm coming to you, it's really to have my feelings validated. Like, well, yeah, gosh, I can see how you would feel so hurt by that. You know, whether it's a work situation or whether, you know, whatever it is, versus, okay, well, maybe that person was, and then you're really trying to help me understand why something happened, or trying to problem solve the words I'm saying versus just mirroring back and just validating, like, I would feel that way too. Or that sounds very hurtful. Mm. You know, it's less about that. But anyways, what is this one? What is it? Oh, fighting. Okay. Yeah.
Learning how to fight.
Yes.
That it's for winning. That it's for
yes.
That
okay.
It's for learning.
It's for learning. And this is what I want to say. So a lot of times in fighting, that whole stance of wanting to win and wanting to be right
and get your way,
people will identify with like wanting to be right.
Yes.
And everywhere on the internet, you'll see, but it's not your fault. But it's true. It's true. What? It's not your fault. You know how everywhere on the internet, any problem you have, it's not your fault. You know, you see that everywhere now.
Okay,
it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And there's truth to a lot of that. But anyways,
it's everybody's fault.
Here, it really is not your fault, because the way our brains work, our old reptilian brain, if you sense that danger, if you can find a way to validate that you are right, that creates a sense of safety. You're right. You're safe. So that is just natural with this human brain. So don't feel bad if you want to be right. Don't feel bad if you're looking to win. But we have to move beyond that.
And maybe it's a matter of reframing what winning means. Because
yes, absolutely.
A version of winning does not necessarily mean, aha, my original premise was right all along. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that. It can mean,
win for the team.
Yay. Yeah, we had a genuine good faith exchange of ideas and perspectives. And we're addressing the issue together in a way that's more elegant, graceful, and smooth. That's a better win.
Yes, but I think
really winning if you want to win.
Yes. And that might be a way to satisfy that reptilian brain.
Yes.
Is to frame it that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Learn how to fight. That's number 7. Quick recap. 10, choose your battles. 9, accept responsibility for your feelings. Number 8, not every issue needs to turn into a psychotherapy session. And number 7, learn how to fight.
All right. So in the next episode, we will be covering the next 4.
We're breaking it up in a weird way.
We're breaking it up
because we're just weird like that. We're queer, you know.
We will be talking about the next 4. And then the episode after that, we will be discussing the top 2 tips that we had, the 2 lessons, plus a bonus.
Okay, I'm trying to do the math in my head. Sorry.
It goes 4, 4, 3.
And it's a little weird because even though it's top 10, we have a bonus in there. We're adding a bonus. That's why the math is weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So should I have stopped recording?
Yes.
Okay. Let's wrap up. Okay. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you being here with the earbuds on. Be safe. We'll see you on social media, mostly on Instagram, when we are Sienna and Toast. That's the handle. That's it. Sienna with 1 N. Okay.
Bye.
Live your love story.
Do you want to deepen your connection to the divine? Speed up your progress on the spiritual path? Then tune in to the Spirit Matters podcast. I'm the host, Philip Goldberg. and I interview experts with wisdom, insight, and practical guidance for every seeker of truth. Spirit Matters on the MindBodySpirit.fm network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.